All right. Good morning, everybody. Everybody good? All right. Half a person's good. I just got it barely. I'm all right. I mean, you have fried chicken today. That's good stuff right there. Man. There you go. Everybody. Oh, it's everybody's asleep. That's what it is. All right. We'll wake up a little bit. Let me pray. Let's pray together, and we'll get started. Good friend Jonathan Player is here this morning. And so I know you're grateful for that. Just let's worship together and get in the Word together this morning. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for that small, cool breeze right now. And God, just be with us in our time of worship. Just cover today. Speak to our hearts above man's words, above even the words that Jonathan sings, that your Spirit flows through that. Now, that's his prayer as well. And that, God, we just hear from you, that we draw closer to you. We need you. I think everyone here, no matter where we're at in our walk with you, if we're honest, could say we need you. And so, Jesus, we just invite you in, and you're why we're here. And so thank you for being the head of this family. Thank you for bringing us together, and God, what you're going to do today. We ask and we pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Well, good morning. All right, we're going to do another kind of old hymn. And it's just about thanking God for his faithfulness for all the seasons, even the hot, muggy ones. It's called Great Is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. end hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter, and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars and their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Who was here last week? Last week. All right. Well, John spoke from a passage in Ephesians 2. And I was thinking as he was speaking, I was like, I wrote a song about that passage. So I'm going to play it. It's just basically took the words from the passage and put it to some music. And I don't know. I think my thoughts about this, as far as the finer theological points of it, have changed over the years. But I think the point of this, if you listen to the words, if you'll read that passage, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, is that God didn't put us here to feel guilty about being a human being. And He also didn't put us here to keep making the same mistakes and bad decisions over and over again. But he put us here, as he said, to do good works or to walk in good works. So we're created for a high purpose, right? Not to feel guilty, not to keep making the same mistakes over and over again and feeling guilty about that, but to focus on what we're here for, the higher purpose. And I think that's what it's all about. So, hey, can I get a little less guitar in the monitor?
As for you, you were dead in transgressions and sins. The prince of this world led you down his path, like we all once lived as slaves to our flesh, like the rest by nature, children of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were dead in sin's dark grave. It's by grace you have been saved. Thank you. Then he raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in that heavenly place, so that he might show in the ages to come in Jesus his all-surpassing grace. It's by God's gift of grace you're saved through faith, not of self nor works, no boast can stand. For we are his workmanship in Christ, made to walk in the good works that he planned. It's because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were dead in sin's dark grave. It's by grace you have been saved. It's because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were dead in sin's dark grave. It's by grace you have been saved. It's by grace you have been saved.
Man, that'll work right there. That's good stuff. I told a friend this morning, and I mean this, I want you to know this isn't just lip service, that I honestly believe that when I come here on a Sunday morning that I have the opportunity to meet with the most beautiful people on the planet. So I want you to know that's how I feel. And man, it's always a pleasure to be here. In case you have been asleep the last week or so, you know that we just came off of a holiday where we celebrated our independence, right, as a nation. In other words, we've celebrated our freedom, right, our birthday as a country. And I want to tell you, that's a wonderful day for me. It's very cool. I'm very thankful for those who have bought and paid for that freedom. It's a beautiful thing. But I want to say it in this way, and not to slight the American soldier, the men and women. If you're here and you're served, we're grateful. Those that continue to preserve those freedoms, we're grateful. But as a nation, we've come a long way, and we've got a long way still that we could go. We could all say that. You don't believe me? Just turn on the news and watch. So not to slight the American soldier, but I do want to tell you, as I've been thinking about freedom, that there is a greater freedom that is offered. A greater freedom that is at stake. In fact, a freedom that you and I were created for. Jonathan just sang it over you this morning. That we were dead in our trespasses, but by his grace we have been brought to life, and not just a life just to live and go through the motions, but a life as free people. Freedom is dangerous when looked at in the right way. From the beginning of time, God's people were promised freedom. They were promised that there would be one that would offer redemption, healing, and one that would set things right between God and man. You may have never heard it in that way. You may have never thought of it in that way, but it's fortunate we've got God's word this morning. You won't have to take my word for it. We'll let him speak. I want to read in the Old Testament, and then I'm going to transition to the New Testament, where we'll see if something doesn't sound eerily familiar. Isaiah 61 starts this way. It says about the promised Messiah, the one who was to come, the one that if you look for him in Scripture, he has always been. John 1 tells us that. Jesus did not pop on the scene one Christmas morning and start his existence. That was his earthly existence, at least in the form of every day as a man. There's even other experiences you could look and see a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, I believe. But as we look and we see, he is in the beginning pages of your Bible, one that is promised, one that will offer freedom and set things right. Isaiah lived 700 years before Jesus Christ, but yet with detailed accuracy, led by the Holy Spirit and visions that God gave him, painted this picture of the one who was to come. Isaiah 61 says this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Anyone here brokenhearted this morning or have been brokenhearted? Jesus was sent to bind up the broken places, to proclaim liberty to the captives. There are so many people that will read Scripture and say, boy, I tell you, this is my redneck voice if I don't have a good enough one already. I tell you what, man, God bless America. We need to bless him, by God. Roll Tide. Go Dale Jr. Right? I want to tell you, whoo, love that 88. But I want to tell you that there is a much bigger picture than the United States of America in Scripture. This is the kingdom of God stuff. This is every person who's ever been born all around the globe, that he has been sent to bind up their brokenheartedness, but to proclaim liberty to the captives. Jonathan said it, we are all born captive to our sin. He came to set the captives, you and me, free. And listen to this. Jack, you've been to prison, right? Not like on purpose, you stay in there. At least not for a long stretch, but you've ministered. I've been there. Others out here have been. Some have been not of their own choosing, and that's fine. There's no judgment in that. But listen to this. If you've been there, whether you're visiting or whether you're in for a short stay or a long stay, when those doors shut, there is something about that, right? You've been there. But listen to what he says, to opening the prison to those who are bound. So much more than an earthly prison, but a spiritual prison, one that is captive in our sin. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God. I want to read that again. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Can I share with you this morning, as free men and women and free indeed, as you walk around with your liberties in the United States of America, some of us are still in prison this morning. We're held captive by religious thoughts, or we're held captive by the sin and the shame and the guilt that the Father doesn't want us to have. The Message translates Isaiah 61:1 like this. The Message is a paraphrase, but it's beautiful in this passage. It says, "The Spirit of God, the Master, is on me." Again, this is referring to Jesus, because God anointed me. He sent me to preach good news to the poor, heal the heartbroken, announce freedom to all the captives, and pardon all the prisoners. Anybody ever seen the movie Braveheart? Three people, four people. Did I have five, six, seven, eight? All right, I feel like we're at auction now. There is a beautiful scene that ends in what would seem a tragic turn of events at the end of the movie. But there is a word that Mel Gibson, William Wallace, screams with his last voice in the movie. Anybody remember the word? Do it. Do it. Freedom. Not just freedom, but free. And it comes from this place of, I'm losing my life, but there is something more at stake here. This is setting the captives free. That is a beautiful representation of Jesus the Christ, but it pales into comparison to what has happened to you and I's story. That we have been set free if we would only believed. So I want to take you to a story in Luke chapter 4. I read that in Isaiah because, again, just to see if maybe this sounds familiar to you. The prophesied one to come was in Isaiah 61. Jesus begins his earthly ministry and he is led into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days by the ruler of this world. We have that account in Luke chapter 4. And then we come from that where he escapes temptation. He quotes the word of God back to the enemy. He goes through all this and he gets to a place where he is going to go to the synagogue. He's going to be there with the religious leaders and those who know the scripture backwards and forward, knows the law. It is the Old Testament at this point. The New Testament is standing there in the flesh, unbeknownst to them. But in Luke 4, starting in verse 14, Jesus is there and there is a traditional reading of the scripture, the Old Testament. Jesus is there. He's just been tempted. He goes into Nazareth where he is from and he goes there and in this region of Galilee. And it says this about Jesus beginning his ministry. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. I want to read through 17 right now. It said, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He's just been tempted. The Holy Spirit is on him and has led him to go back home. And it says, a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. So word has spread of this man named Jesus. Even mutterings, even whisperings of, could this be the one, right? Could this be the one that has been talked about? The religious leaders may be seeing the following that he's gaining and saying, man, I don't necessarily like this dude. I don't like how he's ruffling feathers or breaking the system here. But listen to what he says. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he's teaching and people are gaining this. They are being taught by God in the flesh. They are being taught by Jesus. And so they're hearing things that they've never heard before. And it says, and he came up to Nazareth where he had been brought up. So this is where he had grown up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. And he stood up to read. It was his time to read. He was going to be the one to read the scripture that day. And it says, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. Say, can you imagine him going in and the scroll is laying there? It's his time to read. The scroll is open to Isaiah. Can you picture God in the flesh having and bringing his fingers down? Now, this is ironic because he is the word and he's about to read the word. But as he does that, he comes to his place where he is going to read this day to the religious leaders, to the followers, to the ones that are on the outskirts listening. What is going on? And here is what he reads. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are opposed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It says he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. This is the equivalent of dropping the mic. Jesus reads this passage in Isaiah 61. It's there. He is reading about himself and he rolls up the scroll and sits down. And it says this, that the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. But listen to what he says to them. This is the true mic drop. This is the true moment of no turning back. Jesus is beginning his earthly ministry to do exactly what this passage said, to bring sight to the blind, not just physically, but to the spiritually blind, to set the captives free, not just the literal prisoners, but those who are imprisoned to their sin, or even those in the crowd that day imprisoned to their religion. He says, I'm here to set this people free. And here's what he says after this. He sits down And he begins to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Can you imagine the scene that day? The religious leaders there know this is a prophecy about the Messiah, and they're looking at this guy from their own hometown who they've seen grown up in Joseph and Mary's house. Are you kidding me? This has been fulfilled today. What are you talking about? I have come to set the prisoners free, the captives free, and offer liberty to the captives. It says, all who spoke of him well and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. At first, they were blown away. They said, man, can you imagine this? This is great. And then they began to talk. Is this not Joseph's son? And he said to them, doubtless you will quote me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do you hear in your hometown as well? And he said, truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months and great famine came all over the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only Zarephath in the land of Sidon to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed, only by Naaman the Syrian. When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. And listen to what they did. The religious hear this, those standing by hear this, that he is the one to set the captives free. How did this make the people feel? It says, when they heard these things in the synagogue, they were filled with wrath and rose up and drove him out of the town. Listen, I know rain's coming. I'm going to be quick, but listen, God's got something to say. As this, they drive him out of the town, and they take him not only there out of town, but they take him to the brow of the hill which their town was built so that they could throw him off the cliff. He's there to pronounce freedom, and they want to take him and throw him off the cliff. And it says that as they took him to do that, he passed through their midst and went away. I've always been amazed by that part of the story, that he just walked through the angry crowd and said, no, I'm out of here. It's not my time yet. But I want to tell you this in closing today. I know we need to get with it, but listen to me on this. It made the religious, it made those who were captive in their sin, it made them come to a place where they were so angry that they wanted to throw him off the cliff. I want to ask you this question. Everybody look to me this morning. How does it feel to know that you've been offered freedom from your captivity? Some of us will shout and celebrate and say amen, and some of us are ready to throw that message right off the cliff. No, I don't believe that's true for me. I'm stuck in my sin. I'm held captive there. I'm stuck in my religious ways. I just got to get enough stuff in order, and then I can do that. Listen to me. No matter where you're at, no matter what you did last night, what you're doing today, or what you'll do tomorrow, freedom is available. That is the sweetest song, the sweetest story ever told. Jonathan's going to play, but I tell you, as he does that, I'm going to pass out paperwork. We got to fill out new paperwork today, okay? It's got to be done once a year. Everybody's got to fill it out. Somebody can help you if you need that. It's just very basic information. It only goes to us. That's not put out everywhere in the world, just to get stuff off the truck. So if you need that, want that, fill that out for me. I'll get that to you soon, okay?
We're not
going to
do that today.
Not doing it? Okay, we're not doing that today. We will do it next week, all right? So we'll call out names here in just a minute. Let me pray. Jonathan's going to play and give us some music as we start that, all right? Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for freedom. If there is one here today, don't let something like the rain coming stop something that could happen for an eternal difference. Offer that freedom today. Set people free. It's what we pray. That's what we trust in. That's why we're here. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.